Shannon.
Our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-94, Seacoast Investments LLC. And gentlemen, before we proceed, Mr. Robertson would like to have the floor to enlighten us a bit on this application and the ordinance that applies to it.
So now I can do that, I think, while Mr. Fuqua and his group come forward. Gentlemen, this is the first one, subdivision application, that you will have seen that's under the county's relatively new, moderately priced housing unit ordinance. It's actually a new Chapter 72 of the county code. What I can do, actually, don't expect, I know you know you've probably followed this. Here's copies of the ordinance. I don't expect you to read it now because, frankly, a lot of it doesn't apply to planning and zoning. Sort of the way this works is, in its simplest form, an applicant makes an application to the county, specifically the Department of Community Development, to be allowed to proceed as a moderately priced housing development. And if they're permitted by county council, they're enabled to get some incentives, one of those being an expedited public hearing process, the other being some bonus density. And the way they look at that is, you know, based on income calculations of the people who will be purchasing the homes, there's a tier system, and they can get a greater density depending on those medium income levels and how the income levels are calculated. The good news is the Planning and Zoning Commission doesn't have to do any of those calculations. The Department of Community Development does that, makes its recommendation to County Council, and as I said, County Council says, all right, we'll accept those recommendations if the property's on qualifying land, which means it's in a town center, a developing area, or an environmentally sensitive developing area. It must be under common ownership and served by public water or sewer. There also must be what's called a moderately priced housing unit agreement, and that basically sets forth the number of units at the given price levels, construction marketing schedules, restrictive covenants, how the applicant's going to maintain the price levels throughout the life of the project, that type of thing. But for purposes of the Planning and Zoning Commission, what's significant is what County Council has done. In this case, based upon the recommendation from Community Development, they've approved this project under the category of the moderately priced housing unit project. And that doesn't mean they've approved the project. They just have approved it to be considered this type of project. And as part of that approval, they've given a density bonus of 41 units. That's based upon their calculation of the income levels that would be purchasing properties in this neighborhood if it's approved. They've also reduced the side yard setbacks down to 5 feet, and the minimum lot sizes have been reduced down to 5,625 square feet. One of the questions that immediately comes to mind is, does that mean that that density has been approved by County Council? Do we have to approve the additional 41 units on top of what they could have obtained? You know, do we have to approve the side yard setbacks, and do we have to approve the smaller lot sizes? You know, I think what the Planning and Zoning Commission is obligated to do is look at its subdivision and zoning ordinances for compliance, and then County Council sort of set the parameters of what you can approve. So I would say that the Planning and Zoning Commission can approve up to an additional density bonus of 41 units and can also take into account the reduced setbacks and smaller lot sizes. So I don't want you to think that this is a foregone conclusion this evening, that you have to approve this project because County Council's already looked at it. They've looked at it as to whether they think it qualifies, not whether it should be approved as a subdivision. And the one thing that I would point out, because I see there's quite a bit of interest in this tonight, the Planning and Zoning Commission, tying it back into this ordinance, we're looking at this strictly from the point of view of land use. You know, I think we'll leave it to Community Development and County Council as to the moderately priced housing element and how they got their calculations to it. You know, so I think that's important to keep in mind. You know, whether it's appropriate land use under the subdivision ordinance as modified and the zoning ordinance as modified by County Council, you know, with the density bonuses. So this is the first one we've seen. There were actually three that were approved in April of 2006. There's this one. There's the approved as this moderately priced type project. This one, the North Milton one, and then one other one over in, I think, Lewis and Rehoboth 100, I believe. So this is the first of three so far. So now that I've completely befuddled you all, I guess we can let Mr. Fuqua proceed.
Well, we'll let Mr. Lank proceed first.
Okay.
There we go.
This is an application for Seacoast Investments LLC to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, by dividing 81.84 acres into 199 lots using the cluster development concept, and located east of U.S. Route 113, south of Road 325, and being west of Road 326. This application has also been reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott to summarize any additional comments.
Mr. Wheatley, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet and a revised plan on January the 8th this year. The city has a copy of that, and that's all the additional correspondence we received.
All right, sir. We thank you. Mr. Fuqua, I believe you have the floor.
Good evening, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuqua. I am representing the applicant, Seacoast Investments, LLC. With me is our Bob Minatoli, sitting right here. Bob is a managing member of the applicant, and also Kevin McBride of Morris Ritchie Associates, and they're the engineers and site planners. As Mr. Abbott stated, and I believe you gentlemen have an exhibit book that was submitted that I'll be referring to, and you do not have, but also there was an appendix submitted that contains a lot of the documents that, if you want to refer to them later, they are in the record. As was stated, this is an application for a 199-lot residential subdivision on a parcel of land containing 81.84 acres of land. The land is located just south of Georgetown. It borders three roads. Main road, of course, being Route 113 right here. It also borders on Speedway Road, which is County Road 352, and also on Bethesda Road, which is County Road 326. You gentlemen, I think, are all pretty familiar with the site as the Seacoast Speedway. The existing conditions, which basically are shown on the board that's on the easel there. The actual racetrack, of course, is located in the one corner. In addition, there's some grandstands located around the track. There's some concession buildings and storage buildings. There's a pit and work area. There's parking areas. There's areas that are currently being tilled, or not currently, but have been tilled in the past. And then there's a wooded area located on the right-hand side of the parcel. The use of the land as a racetrack is permitted under the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance as a non-conforming use. That is something that basically existed before the county had zoning and therefore maintains its right to continue because of that pre-existing or non-conforming use. In addition, at some point in time in the past, there was a special exception granted by the Board of Adjustment that also permits certain specific events at the location. The actual underlying zoning and existing zoning on the property is AR1 agricultural residential. And as you know, one of the purposes of the agricultural residential district is to provide for low density single family residential development. And one of the permitted uses in the AR zone is detached single family dwelling. So that is a permitted use in that zoning district. Now, the development being proposed and presented to you tonight is designed to contain 199 single-family lots, and that is on 81.84 acres. And the, of course, if you work that out, that's a density of 2.43 lots per acre. And, of course, on the face of that, we would be dealing with the question of how can we be asking for density that actually exceeds the AR permitted density. And that does require further explanation. Mr. Robertson has already mentioned that this application did involve a new ordinance that the county passed earlier this year. And I'm going to try to briefly just summarize the history of what occurred and my understanding of basically how that affects this application. First of all, the proposed AR development utilizes the AR cluster option, which you're very familiar with. This application was filed when the permitted AR cluster density was 2 lots per acre, and this is designed in compliance with that 2 lots per acre ordinance. And, of course, also it's designed in compliance with having central sewer and central water. And as we'll be showing, it has approximately 36 acres of open space and recreational space, which is over 44% of the site. So it is designed in compliance with the cluster ordinance. The actual original application, which was filed in November of 2005 and was presented at the PLUS review, actually contained 163 lots. The minimum lot size of those lots was 75,000 square feet, and of course the 81.84 acres, the 163 lots, that was 2 lots per acre. So that is what was originally filed, and of course that was the density permitted. After the PLUS meeting and considering the PLUS comments, there were suggestions made by some of the state agencies regarding the design of the site and some suggested revisions to the plans that were being taken into consideration. But more importantly, on January 17th of 2006, the Sussex County Council adopted the new ordinance that we referred to, the Moderately Priced Housing Unit Ordinance, or what they call the MPHU Ordinance. As was stated, this is the first application actually reaching you that actually involves that ordinance. And now to summarize it and to make it, oversimplify it, the Sussex County Council declared it in the ordinance as a matter of public policy for the county that the county wanted to encourage the production and dispersal of moderately priced housing units throughout the county. And the ordinance itself defines those terms, and it defines the conditions of MPHUs. And most importantly, for the purposes of you land planners, the application addresses certain things. And what those things are basically incentives. The council created incentives in this ordinance and to encourage developers to actually create these MPHU developments. Now, one of the incentives was a density incentive or a density bonus. And it depends on the location, it depends on the price of the proposed housing units, but basically it provides a certain amount of additional units over and above what your zoning would permit. One of the requirements is that you do have at least 35 MPHU units. Now, the intent was that the density incentive would permit, again, density greater than what would normally be permitted in a regular subdivision. A second incentive in the ordinance is it entitles an applicant to expedited review. In other words, you don't have to get in line and wait with everybody else, which, as you probably know right now, is taking, I guess it's almost up 14, 15 months probably at this point in time. This application actually, I think we maybe gained about one meeting, I think is about where it worked out on this because of the timing of it. So the expedited provision really wasn't involved. However, the third incentive was that the council is authorized to modify the zoning ordinance and regulations as far as the design elements are concerned. And mainly, this is addressing things such as minimum lot sizes and setbacks and things of that nature to assist in achieving the density increase and permitting the location of the MPHU units. Now, after that ordinance was passed, Mr. Minitoli recognized that the Speedway site was an excellent location for incorporation of this MPHU program. The reason was, number one, this site is centrally located near Georgetown. It has access to major roads. As I said, it's located right on Route 113. Bus service is available just north of the site. The site is near numerous employment opportunities in the Georgetown and the Millsboro area, including the Sussex County Correctional Institute, many schools, numerous government agencies, and businesses located along Route 113. Mr. Minitoli submitted an MPHU proposal to the county under the ordinance, basically proposing to create 41 MPHU units in addition to the 163 that were already proposed, or a total of 204 units. And in the exhibit book that was submitted, not the exhibit book, but the appendix book, There is a copy of all the documents showing the record of that MPHU application, the council minutes, the council decision, and related documents regarding that. The proposal that that was submitted indicated that there were basically two deviations from the normal zoning regulation requirements. One involved the side yard setbacks. It proposed that some of these lots would have a reduced setback of 5 feet, and some of the lots would have a reduced side yard setback of 7.5 feet, and also a reduction in the minimum lot size. That would be a reduction from the permitted 7,500 square foot cluster size to a size of 5,625 feet to accommodate the MPHU units. That proposal, as already has been stated, was reviewed by the County Council on April 25th of 2006, and the Seacoast Investment MPHU proposal was approved by Sussex County Council. There's a letter from William LeCates, who is the director of the Sussex County Community Development and Housing Division, acknowledging that. That, again, is in that record book, and I will submit a copy of that to Mr. Lank in case you care to review that. As we've stated several times, this is the first application to actually reach the public hearing stage, and if approved, the applicant will be required to enter into a formal MPHU agreement with the county. And that's basically the way this is presented, that you are approved for the program, you then are put back into the system to seek your required approvals, and if approval is obtained, then you go back and enter into the agreement. And now, getting back to the point I was trying to make, based on the comments that were made from the PLUS hearing and the ramifications of the MPHU proposal, the site plan was redesigned and modified somewhat to be presented to you tonight. And just to avoid any confusion, the original application was 163 lots. When it was revised for the MPHU, it was 203 lots with 41 of the MPHU lots. That was subsequently reduced to 199 lots. And we were working on percentages, so the MPHU units were reduced to 40. So what we're presenting to you is 199, with 40 of those being MPHU units. If there's any question that, hey, it should be 41, it's not a problem, we can make it 41. So that's what's before you tonight, just in case there's any question about those differences in numbers. As I said, the increased density, the setbacks, the lot size variance, were all authorized by council when they approved this MPHU qualification. And I would suggest that if there's any question about that, that if you find it appropriate to approve this and you're uncertain about that, that you just make it a condition of approval that be reconfirmed by the council that those items are in fact approved by the council. I realize this is the first one, so we're all kind of working our way through it. Everything I just said, Kevin McBride will actually be showing you what that all means with the site plan in just a moment. As to the specifics of the development itself, the development will be served by Central Water for domestic use and fire protection. Water will be provided by the town of Georgetown, which, as I said, is just located slightly north of this site. A sewer will be a central on-site wastewater treatment facility. It will be operated by a licensed utility company. Soil studies were performed. And DENREC did, in fact, issue a statement of feasibility in September of 2006. Again, that is in the exhibit book, and I have a copy of that here, which, again, I will submit to Mr. Lank if you care to take a look at that. A TIS was not required by DLDOT. The site is centrally located. As I said, it's adjacent to Route 113. The DART bus system stops at the Sussex County Correctional Institute and also at the Georgetown State Service Center, which is located just north of this site. Utilities for the site, electric will be provided by Delaware Electric Co-op, cable TV by Mediacom, telephone by Verizon, and natural gas by a Chesapeake company. The site is in the Georgetown Fire Company service area. The Delaware State Police Troop 4 is located less than a mile north of the site on Route 113. The site is in the Indian River School District. And again, in the appendix book, there are letters from the school district from the Georgetown Fire Company and from the utility companies regarding the ability to serve. All of the lot owners in the development will become members of a homeowners association, which will be responsible for the enforcement of the community regulations, for the collection of association dues, and for the maintenance and an upkeep of the community facilities and open space. The nature of the area, as we deal with many times on applications before the county, the state basically indicates that this is a level four area, and the state deems level four areas to be a designation of an area that basically is an agricultural or natural resource area. Despite the state's designation as a level four area, I think this is far from being that type of an area. Again, as I stated, it's located adjacent to Route 13, which is a major road in Delaware. It's located just south of Georgetown. There's residential areas located adjacent to the site. The Sussex County Correctional Institute, Motor Vehicle Department, and Service Center are just north of the site. Across 113 from the site is the Kruger Trailer Sales, which is located on Route 113. And then, as you're all familiar, there's extensive shopping and services existing along Route 113 north of the site. And probably more importantly, as to the site itself, as you know, it was or is the Seacoast Raceway. And I certainly understand that some people would miss the operation of the racetrack at this site, and we're sympathetic to any racing fans that feel that way. However, the economic realities make the continued use of the property as a racetrack just not feasible. The track was rented last summer, and I would just state it, there's already been a lease sent out, and it will be rented again this summer, so it will be in operation this year. But that is, it's basically being rented for the taxes, is really what it's being rented for, just to have the operation since it's there. We believe that the requested residential subdivision will be a much more in character with the residential uses that are already in the area. It will have a significantly less intense impact than the existing raceway. In the recent past, there's been some other proposed uses for the site which would have been quite intense. Some of these, I guess all of these actually predate several of the commissioners, but I think I know Mr. Wheatley will remember some of these. Back in 2000, there was a proposal, and actually hearings were held on a conditional use application to put a harness racing track on this site. It was very controversial. The Planning and Zoning Commission recommended denial. The opponents of that application expressed many concerns over increased noise, increased traffic, drunkenness, gambling, general lawlessness. And really, I think the big issue dealing with all of it was that underlying the whole thing was an intent probably to have slot machines brought in eventually. As I said, it was very controversial. It was not approved. In 2004, there wasn't an application before you, but there was a proposal to create at least what was advertised as a multi-million dollar entertainment complex on this site. There was some investment opportunities available, I don't know all the details of what happened, but the investment opportunities turned out to be very bad investment opportunities for the people who became involved and ultimately involved some criminal charges, and that was the end of that. Last year, as I said, it's been under contract. The site was leased last year and was operated for auto racing. Now, using the site for residential development will, what we believe, will reduce the impact on the area. It actually will increase property values of all the properties in the area. And under this application, it will provide housing opportunities to many Sussex County families, including some who will qualify under the MPHU program. And the MPHU program, I might mention basically, it's a program that's designed to provide housing to people who are Sussex County residents. And when those units are sold, they will be sold to people who are Sussex County residents under certain guidelines. Now, with that, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Kevin McBride to actually go over the site plan and then I will finish up.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Kevin McBride with Morris Ritchie Associates, and Jim did a great job of explaining everything I was going to tell you, but I'll give a little bit of background as to the MPHU requirements for employment. This is, it's not working. Site is located in the center there, the red dot, that's a 5-mile radius, and within that radius, you can see the town of Georgetown is fully encompassed at about the 3 or 4 mile mark. And you've got the college, all the municipal, county workers within that area, and there's about 80 employers within the range of the moderately priced income that would qualify people for these houses. So it's important that we have this in the area. I'll go over the existing conditions a little bit down below. We did want to cluster this development, use that initially with 163 units, with 2 units per acre. And just to give you an idea of what the site's comprised of, is we've got a drainage ditch that runs down here to Almshouse Ditch. There's some wetlands in blue shown with a little finger that comes up here and then stops. This is the original drag strip that went through the site. And here's the oval where they currently raise the concession stands that Jim talked about. The area that's in farming right now is the upper portion. There's about 17, 18 acres that's being tilled now. This area is being used for parking for the racetrack and has been historically. Some of the better soils are in this area here and up where the racetrack is for septic and effluent disposal. And if we can show that map there. The wet this effluent disposal areas. As I said, the better soils are the ones that are in red here and over here. Okay, these obviously are severely impacted by the racetrack activities. This being some of the better soils underlying the compacted top layer, we're going to have to go through some remediation. So we have 2 suitable areas. One is in the forest. On the original plan that we submitted with 163 units, we had the larger lots in there, 7,500 square foot. We had them clustered in this area knowing that that soil was impacted, but knowing we could do remediation, it was important for us to go ahead and remove those units from that area. And then also during the plus comments, they mentioned to remove some of the existing cul-de-sacs that we showed on the first plan from the woods to preserve some of the forest. So that's how we modified from the initial plan for 163 units down to the second plan, which actually increased the units because we reduced the lot size. And we utilized some of this area that we left as open space. We had buffers around the perimeter, and we still maintain those buffers. It's just they've moved from this area over to the north side of the property. And Jim had mentioned the soils recon is in the appendices. We have a non-binding letter of commitment from DENREC saying that soils would work. We're now looking at groundwater monitoring to look at the mounding effects in the woods. And like I said, the soil remediation is going on in the northern section. I'd like to talk about the concept for the plan that's before you. It does have 199 units. It has an additional 0.9 acres of additional woods retained because we removed the cul-de-sac from the woods. And we'll be using that for part of the effluent disposal. We've left this entire area in the north open as another alternate location for sewage disposal area. Along the perimeter, we've kept the buffer. There's a multimodal trail and berms and extensive plantings along the perimeter. We've concentrated open space throughout. We've got some tennis courts, some ball fields up on the north east corner, and scattered throughout the development of the gazebos, pergolas, benches, bus shelters, bituminous walks. There's over a mile and a quarter of pathways that wind through the woods, connect into the multimodal pail that goes around the perimeter, and then through easements connects through the lots to tot lots, open space centered around the stormwater management, which is centrally located. Everything is piped to the stormwater pond and then discharged out into the drainage ditch that goes into Alma's house branch there. We don't expect any wetland impacts from this project. We've utilized an existing culvert to connect a boulevard entrance between this northern section of the project and the southern section of the project. We've interspersed the MPHU units throughout the development. They're not concentrated in one area or another. There's some up here and there's some down here. All the roads will be to county standards, sidewalks on both sides, closed section. Approximately 45% of the site will remain open space, and 73% of all the existing vegetation will be saved. In your booklet, there's some blow-ups of those amenity areas so that you can see what's proposed in there. In the tot lots, there'll be playground equipment and pergolas overlooking the ponds, and you can see all that. As Mr. Fuqua said, there's a homeowners association organization and management structure included in the information that we gave you. Specifically, we've addressed 99C and feel we've got an exemplary design. We've integrated the subdivision into the terrain. It's relatively flat. All the roads are pretty much on grade. So we've minimized cut and fill throughout the site. Wetlands will remain undisturbed. We've preserved the natural and historical features in the plus comment that was mentioned of a potential historic site up in here. We've left that as open space, and we've not disturbed that in any way. And open space and scenic views have been protected. We've provided a buffer to the agricultural use along the south side there. And like I said, we've tried to create the buffer all around the perimeter property with landforms and plantings in that open space. We've minimized tree and vegetation removal through the grading practices that we've employed. There's actually a berm that runs around the outside of the racetrack that shields it from the roads to the west, which is 113, and the road to the north here sort of stops about right here. We've left any existing vegetation in those berms in place. Rather than trying to regrade them and revegetate them, we felt it would best just to leave them, because you can't see what's in there now, and it would be nice not to see the housing from the road. Where there isn't any, we've introduced new planting and berms. And that's also what we've done in terms of screening objectionable views from the property. Water supply is probably going to be from the town of Georgetown. Originally, we were going to have a private like Tidewater or somebody come in and provide that through their distribution system and new wells on the site. But the town of Georgetown, and I serve on their steering committee for the update of the comprehensive plan, is looking at extending their growth area down this way past the correctional institution. And they would like to extend water down to the property to begin to loop it back through their system. Sewer disposal will be by a Public Service Commission regulated provider. Again, we've talked to a few there. We've prevented surface and groundwater pollution through collecting everything that's on the site and treating it through this pond and then discharging out, as I had mentioned. The site is is a fair site for groundwater recharge. There's not exceptional soils there for recharge, but certainly suitable for the effluent disposal. As far as vehicular and pedestrian movement through the site, we have, as I said, sidewalks on both sides, interconnected roads that loop around, providing for multiple means of access for emergency vehicles. We have a bifurcated entrance with a median in the middle, again, so that we can have, if there's any accident on one side, they can get around the other and certainly loop through the development any number of ways. Again, connecting these two areas is another bifurcated road over the existing culvert. So again, no disturbance of vegetation, and using a feature like a median to connect open space and village greens through the median to the pond, past pergolas and gazebos as focal points. And we always try and line up axes through these open space so that people have a sense of orientation and perspective of where they are and move them through a series of nodes. In addition to the walks on both sides, we've got the multimodal path that I talked about that links to those paths, and then back through the woods is another asphalt path that takes you through a different experience through the woods there. In terms of property values, they expect these units to sell anywhere from $250 to $300 with an average of, like, say, $260. That equates to revenue through transfer taxes of approximately $2 million through the sale of the property through the various exchanges from the initial owner to the developer to the builder and to the final resident. There's building permit fees, and there's a $200 per unit contribution to the fire department. That equates to about $2.2 million in one-time fees, plus annual taxes in the neighborhood of about $490 per unit, which is about $980,000 per year. This site was not a high-ranking farm preservation site, and I think Mr. Fuqua explained exactly why, because of the racetrack and the disturbance and the fact that there's been parking out there. What is open is not very viable farming operations. We've made contact with the Mr. Miller of the Indian River School District, and he anticipates between 50 and 75 students be generated from this project, and he feels that that number is low to moderate impact on the school systems. And Mr. Fuqua also mentioned that there is DART transportation from three separate routes that can take you within the county and to Kent County. It's served by Georgetown Fire Company, Troop 4 of the State Police, and emergency services, again, located with all less than 5 miles away. And that concludes my presentation. If you have any questions, we've addressed the plus comments, and they're in your brochure. Yeah.
Gentlemen, in summary, the proposed subdivision, as we've stated, has been approved and accepted as an MPHU proposal by the County Council. The MPHU ordinance creates the authority for the Council to authorize incentives for MPHU developments. This proposal requested increased density and modification of the setbacks and lot size requirements. As I mentioned before, those things could really be dealt with at a site plan level, subject to Council's confirmation. As to a general review of the considerations of the normal considerations of the Planning and Zoning Commission, this proposal fully complies with the requirements of the cluster ordinance. The considerations of Section 99.9C of the subdivision ordinance have been addressed by Kevin. There is a written summary of those considerations that is in the exhibit book that was submitted to you. The development will have a approximately 45% open space, even with the increased density. As Kevin mentioned, the proposed development will preserve 73% of the presently existing woodlands that are on the site. The development will provide residential housing, including the much-needed moderately priced housing units as intended by the moderately priced housing unit ordinance. It's centrally located, and the proposed development replaces an existing non-conforming use with a much less intrusive and more compatible use with the residential uses in the area. I do have some proposed findings of facts, which I'll submit to Lawrence, and also I have proposed conditions, which I'll submit to you for your consideration. Kevin handed me, this is a summary of the amenity items of the development, which again I'd ask Lawrence to hand out to you. It summarizes what was shown on the plan. This hearing, of course, is to consider this application as a subdivision and for you to determine if it's an appropriate use of this land in accordance with the applicable zoning and subdivision ordinances. As I mentioned before, we're sympathetic with the fact that this is a racetrack that will no longer be operating, but this is the application for a use that is permitted, and basically we believe what we've presented is a use that is, number one, well-designed, fits in very well with the area, and will be an asset to that area. So subject to me handing these to Lawrence, that will conclude our presentation, and we'll be happy to try to answer any questions you have.
All right, sir, thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Fuqua, in reviewing the response to plus comments, and I'll refer you to page 27 of your booklet, it makes reference to the town's desire to annex the property. Is that correct, or is that?
That's correct, but it's not that simple. The existing Town of Georgetown comprehensive plan, much like the county, every town has a comprehensive plan. And that comprehensive plan is required to have a future annexation area map shown. And under the existing Georgetown comprehensive plan, that future annexation area does not include this site. Does not include this site. Now, the discussions have been that in the future it could be expanded out that far and bring this in, but that's, as you know, both the county and the towns are considering review of their comprehensive plans at this time, and there'll be public hearings and those decisions will be made, but it is not in the Georgetown annexation area.
It is not yet. Okay. And the other comment on the same page was, I guess, that the town had expressed a desire to extend water and sewer to it. Is there?
I think Kevin had those discussions, and
water, but not sewer.
I don't think it was sewer.
Have you approached the town about the sewer?
Yes.
And
You have to come up to them.
Come up to the mic there, sir.
Initially, we approached the town about this project and a few other projects on the northeast side of town. As you're aware, their sewer treatment plant is almost due east of this site, where most of their service is to the north. And it was decided back then that this property is so many parcels removed from the immediate town boundary, annexation would be a long way off. But they had no problem in allowing, at that point, the service provider on the northeast side to develop some areas that were a lot closer to annexation, as well as this property, in hopes that someday the town would be able to take those over and be able to bring them into their system with the disposal areas that are available on this site, because it's got better soils than they have at the treatment plant. So they'd be able to collect it and then treat it and manage it under the town. So that's what they originally had talked about. But as of recently, they would like water, because there's no problem with them getting water to it, whereas sewer would be a long way off. So it needs to be a separate provider than the town for sewer.
Okay, because I understand that the prison is being treated, sewage is being treated by the town of Georgetown, and the main, I guess, connector runs about where the railroad tracks meets Sussex Pines Road. So, you know,
right, it's far away.
In relative terms, it's not too far away.
Right. Well, and they also have a disposal problem. That's their main issue. It's not a treatment issue.
Yeah,
it's a disposal
other
problem.
Involved too.
We've got
to deal with the treated water.
Right. And it's not prudent to collect it here, send it over there for treatment and ship it back to dispose. It's better to just dispose of it here, and ultimately it could go into their system, but not at this time.
And this may be a question for our council to address at some point. I spent considerable time going over the ordinance and trying to understand the MPHU and how it works and how this property might come into play. But I wasn't quite sure how this fit as a qualifying land. When I looked on page 6 of that ordinance, it makes reference to being served by public sewer and water. I don't know if the sewer, the Tidewater, whoever might be treating the sewers, would fall into that realm. But
I think it does with that, when you kind of tie it back into section or chapter 115. Public, Tidewater Artesia would fall into that category. It's not really clearly defined, but if you kind of pull it in under some of the other sections, I think you're good on that.
I wondered, because of the falling under the public utilities regulations, et cetera. But I wasn't quite sure about if it fit in under the developing area in a town center and that sort of thing.
Well, that's a question that's come up. I think, as Mr. Fuqua said, this is one of the first applications that the county has seen to implement this ordinance in conjunction with, somebody who wants those density bonuses. And I think, as Mr. Fuqua referenced, that might be one area where there's a request that county council clarify their position with regard to that. Because, like we said, they did look at it in April, and they approved it. Seemingly that's true, that it's not in a town center developing area or environmentally sensitive developing area, but I think that's something we probably need to get from county council.
Okay. And just one comment, not a question. Almshouse, that sounds like poorhouse. You might want to think about renaming your development.
Just for the record, there's a ditch out there, which is the Almshouse Ditch. And
I was glad I saw that too, Mr. Fuqua.
Yeah, there is a reason.
I was wondering how you...
I thought marketing might have a problem with that.
My only question was going to be if you all were aware of the origins of that word. And then when I saw the drawing and it had the Almshouse Ditch, I remember that's the name of the ditch, too. But
yeah. And I assume at some point in time in the past there was a reason it was called the Almshouse Ditch.
I would suspect it's true.
At least they didn't name it the Potterfield Acres or something.
That's right.
At the market price of these homes, I don't think it's an appropriate name.
That's true.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Burton.
Just for my clarification, did the county council look at the plan, or did they just look at numbers?
No, what they do is they get an RFP from the applicant, which was numbers, sort of goals of the plan, the types of incomes that they wish to serve, request for the density bonus and the smaller lot sizes. So it's more conceptual and more data oriented than plan oriented. I don't know, unless there was some conceptual plan at that point, but they didn't act on the plan or decide on the plan.
My understanding is they rely on the planning commission to review the plans.
Okay.
They just kind of approve it conceptually. Well, not even conceptually, because they're not really looking at the site.
They're not looking at a plan. They're just not a program.
Will the MPHU's houses look any different?
Let me have Mr. Minatoli address that, because I think he's pretty familiar with it.
The answer to question is no.
Sir. Dennison,
my name is Bob Minatoli. I was also involved in drafting the ordinance, helping the council and working on the committee that did the drafting of the MPHU ordinance. And one of the county's very important objectives was that the MPHU units not turn out to be materially distinguishable or isolated in a way that created any stigma that this is an MPHU project versus the other. It would be a very long explanation to get into all of this, but the objective of the ordinance, the density bonus was to try to deliver to the MPHU lots free land and free utilities. By using the same amount of land for more lots, and by having the same length of roads and utilities and so forth, but more lots, you can reduce the unit cost per lot. Or basically you can assign all your costs to your market rate lots and have your MPHU lots for, call it, free. You therefore can place the same house on that lot and sell it at a much, much lower price. So they will not look different. They'll be the same houses.
Just to follow up on that, because it's a logical question that comes next, what happens is that the county community development office is involved then in resales and things to keep check on how those lots are maintained as MPHU units. So there is some county involvement, you know, once the project's built out to maintain that.
The number.
Yeah, and also the individual units. I mean, there's buyback provisions and things within the county, yeah, to make sure that occurs.
No further questions.
Morty. All of my questions have been answered. Mr. Smith?
Question for Mr. Fuqua. Based on your experience taking these projects through, if this project were granted preliminary approval, when would you see your developer actually breaking ground on this site? There again, just based on your experience with other projects.
Oh, breaking ground? 18 months?
January
08. 08, really? Optimistic developer.
Yeah.
I would say a year. That's probably realistic. And then probably you'll bump into some problems that will delay that a little further, things of that nature. But yeah.
Does the expedited process just apply to?
Yes.
Taking it to this hearing or then throughout?
Well, actually, once you get through this stage, it, to get back on your agenda is not a problem. I mean, it's a matter of, you know, a month or 6 weeks at the most. So that there's no.
Yeah, because there's no expedited processing of state agency comments and things. You
know, once you have approval, basically, you're getting your agency permits, and then you're just out working, as on any development, to obtain those permits and reviews and approvals. And again, between a year and 18 months.
So nothing would expunge the lease to operate it?
This summer? No. The lease has actually already been sent out, I think, to the operators.
Thank you.
Another question. All right, sir. Mr. Lang?
You're having a central sewage treatment facility on site. What type of system is that proposed?
It hasn't been designed yet. But
sir, again, I need you to come up front here and talk with us. I know you're tired. It's hot.
I'm just old and forgetful. I forgot. It's probably going to be some kind of possibly some rapid infiltration, but more than likely a combination. It could be spray. We don't know. We're looking at the mounding aspects in this area here because it's closer to the stream, so those are under study now.
Well, why ask? It will not be a septic or aerobic tank with a drain field. It's not permitted.
Well, then we wouldn't be that.
I just wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be qualified. It's going to be
treated
qualified
to five.
Qualified central source.
Yeah, five parts per million at the discharge point, yes.
Okay, and just looking at the site and knowing the area and looking at the photographs of the disturbance that's already taken place, it looked like it would be a major undertaking. It's just an observation. It looks like it would be a major undertaking to develop that portion around the track, in the area of the track.
For residential and roads, or?
Just because of the disturbance that's already taken place and the materials that are used to.
And the compaction and everything else.
To build the track, et cetera, and compaction.
All those gallons of oil that have been poured on the ground out there, you might as well cut to the chase.
To build the track.
That's going to be my question, you know.
Well, the track is here where the residential is, and this would be a disposal area. That's where some of the better soils were, here and here. So we've left those undisturbed.
No, it's just an observation. I wasn't raising the question, but I look at the aerials and then look at where it sits, and a major portion of that third of the property is impacted by the track itself. Another good substantial portion disturbed by the original drag strip, and should be a major undertaking to get it done.
Sir, a couple observations that might be helpful. We have done a pretty thorough soil borings throughout the place to identify any issues that we had. There were some, we do have some hydrocarbon spills in the pit area, kind of on the south of the track, and that'll all be remediated. Interestingly, the compaction that's taken place in the track area is a bit of a benefit in terms of roadways and housing and so forth, and also the fact that it's been completely denuded of topsoil gives us a place to use the topsoil that will be taken up everywhere else, which is generally a problem for developers, and here we're actually going to have a place to use it, so we're not too displeased.
That's all I have.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Mr. Katz?
Pick up on a point that was
briefly discussed earlier. I just want to expand, make sure I understand. Coincidentally, the proposed number of moderately priced units is 40 units, and according to your schedule on your preliminary plan, the 40 units that are there are only 40 units that are 50-foot wide lots, and they're shown in the dark area here. Am I incorrect to assume that the MPHU units will be the 50-foot lots?
Right, this is these lots right here and these lots right here. That's the plan as proposed, and that would be, again, subject to site plan review.
I think you know where I'm going to go with this. HOPE 6 projects, which is a brand new, relatively brand new program from the Department of Housing and Urban Development, was created in order to encourage the dispersal of affordable housing throughout a community because the old programs of housing, in this particular case assisted housing, were all grouped together. What they found was that by dispersing that housing within a community, it had less impact on the community. And I would encourage you to distribute the MPH units within the entirety of the project, not concentrate them, for exactly the same reason that we were discussing earlier about the design. It's not only just the design, but the location is just as important, in fact, maybe even more so.
We agree with that comment 100%, and I guess I would have to say that the fact that they're shown somewhat grouped today is more of a step in the planning process, so that as we move through it and fine-tune where we're going to put the nodes, they will change a bit. I think something that really is important, though, for the commission to understand, if you haven't been familiar with the ordinance, moderately priced housing in for Sussex County is not low-income housing.
And I wasn't suggesting.
No, I know you. I know you weren't at all. We're talking about the incomes they're talking about here between $40,000 and $60,000 family incomes, and this is what I would call a workforce housing. It's kind of targeted at police, firefighters, prison guards, those correctional officers, those types of folks who are kind of shut out at the upper market. The next thrust after this one, after dealing with MPHUs, getting that rolling, is going to be kind of moving down that chain. But we are 100% sensitive to there not being any stigma attached to these houses, and we will distribute them better as we go along.
Yeah. Well, that impacts the commission's approval, because if you start putting those 50-foot lots in areas where you now have 60-foot lots, your layout's going to change. And so eventually, when you get down to an approval, what you see here is going to be different from what you're going to finally approve down the line.
So. Well, that's true. But if it's different in an effort to conform with our request,
yeah, I'm not saying I'm not alluding that there's anything wrong with it.
It is going to change.
I am asking, though, that they distribute the units throughout the project for exactly the reason we've been talking about.
And I just want to mention, the units were not all clustered in one area and basically separate from everything else. There's a grouping here, but all these units are directly surrounded by regular units. And same thing, this area here, again, is directly in the middle of the totally, regular subdivision lot. So obviously there's a million combinations you can do there. And
they're all for site design specifics.
And the other, just briefly, the discussion about almshouse got me thinking, and I didn't get a chance to look in your comments from the state. Did the state say anything about unmarked graves comments? And I have no idea where the almshouse was, but typically there's a graveyard associated.
We were trying. I spent 26 years working for the Rouse Company up in Columbia, Maryland, and we were really doing community development. We were really into historical connectivity. So when we originally secured the property, we researched it to try and find something to connect the name And I did research back to Almshouse and locate where it was. It was not on this property. So, it was further south. The state did point out that up around that corner where I think it's called the Pepper House, that we need to be sensitive to the potential that there were unmarked graves from that area, and that's, of course, being preserved as open space.
That's all.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Abbott.
Questions?
Another one. Mr. Johnson, go ahead.
Mr. Fuqua, could you or someone comment on terms of what impact the wastewater disposal spray field might have on the adjoining property owners and their wells? I think that might be a concern where you see the you're proposing the wastewater treatment in
disposal area
on that area, and then you have houses that are all across the street. You care to comment on it?
Yes, we have located all the wells along the perimeter of the property, and there is going to be a buffer and open space perimeter along here with berming, so everything is going to be well beyond the required distance from those. And it's a down gradient. This thing doesn't want to work half the time. Down gradient towards Almshouse. Yeah. So.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Yep. Thank you, sir.
I've got one.
Mr. Gordy.
On the MPHU houses, are they, is there a timetable when they have to be built? Does certain many regular homes be built before?
So that is one of the issues that's covered in the MPHU agreement that Mr. Fuqua referenced. Mm-hmm. We've committed to the county to do no worse than proportional. In other words, it's 3-1 basically. So for every 3, we'd build one. Frankly, our sense is that the MPHU units are going to sell much more rapidly because of their price, and they'll go first.
I just didn't want to say, you know, you're building all the regular homes first, and then.
That would be not consistent with the spirit of the thing.
Okay. All right. Mr. Robertson.
No questions.
All right. Gentlemen, we thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-94 Seacoast Investments LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-94? Yes, sir.
Evening, Council.
Hey. We need your name.
Okay, my name is Donald Dutton Sr. Mm-hmm. And I reside in Ellendale. And
okay.
I have property all along the Almshouse Ditch, mm-hmm. where Little D Trucking and Dutton Trucking is. Mm-hmm. And I've seen pictures up here where if the sewer can't go one place, it's going to, soils is better out in the woods. And evidently they don't, I haven't heard any, you know, what they're going to do about the sewer. And the they got 199 homes that they want to put in there. That's 398 more reasons not to put it in there, because there's already enough traffic accidents right there by Kruger Trailer. Plus back on Route 48, I mean there's already always accidents there anyway. So it's going to be a minimum of 398 vehicles that's going to be there every day. And the other part of it is the part where the Almshouse ditch is now. If the sewer don't, if it can't go out where all these property owners are, now they said they've located the wells, but I haven't heard anybody say how deep the wells were. I mean, they got to take that into consideration, how deep the wells are, if they're going to start spraying all this stuff and saturating the property with it, where's it going? So if they don't put it out where the neighbors are already, and they put it over to where the ditch is, where's it going? And I'm in opposition of it, and I think it should be taken into consideration of the amount of traffic that's in the area already. Taking into consideration, I mean, there's nothing stinks no more than human waste. We all know that. And what are they going to do with it? If they're going to put 199 homes in there, and a minimum probably of two people per home, it's a lot of waste. And I think it should be taken into consideration what we're going to do with it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Yes, sir, in the gray sweatshirt. You. You. Going to come down to center on. Okay. Give us your name.
My name's Ira Hitchens, and I live in Cabbage Corner. I'm not too far from the racetrack. I'm also known as the mayor of Cabbage Corner. And for this little gentleman to sit here and say that the town has committed or going to almost be committed to run sewer and water out there, that's not true.
Sir, that's not what he said.
What did he say?
That's not what he said.
What did
water.
He say?
Said he was going to run water. Nothing was said about sewer.
Okay, water.
Okay, just water.
All right, I'm going to tell you why. I've met with the town manager and some of the town people. I have 120-some signatures already in that neighborhood out there where you're going to build against water and sewer both. I'm working on that project right now. Another thing is I'm quite concerned that my home is worth probably $400,000 or $500,000 or $400,000. Some of the homes out there are $600,000, and the and he's saying here he's going to build a low income housing for $300,000. That don't add up for me at all. I'm sorry, gentlemen.
Sorry with me. Anybody else like to speak? Yes, sir. Step right up.
Live on Road 325. Mm-hmm. And looking at the map, what they got up is the sewer plant is going to be right in front of my yard. And I can see something like that within about 200 feet of my well, for one reason. The second reason is Road 48, which is our road, 325, and Bethesda Road, there's on an average a wreck a week there. And now you're going to put another 390 cars out there to contend to that more, plus school busing and stuff like that. And on the third part is Bethesda Road is nothing but a tar and chip road. And how in the world is that little road there going to hold that many more vehicles out there? Plus the busing and stuff like that, turning off that road into that development and back on that road and stuff. And I don't agree with the development at all at this point.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Okay, well, somebody over here had their hand up. I don't think he's just... Okay.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing? My name is Jim Greer. I live on Wood Branch Road. And like Mike said there about that traffic, Bethesda Road is nothing but a short road. And to put that housing development there, it'd be cluster. And that's going to be just past Webby's place.
I don't think you're talking about the same cluster they are, but...
It's going to be clustered. Oh, yeah. Imagine all them trying to come out on that road there, going to work in the morning. Yeah, it's okay. Going to be clustered. And, of course, accidents right there. And, of course, that stop sign right there, we got to go this way and that way and around. You know what I'm talking about? And that's pretty bad right there.
I know what you're talking about.
And, you know, it's, like I say, it's a lot more traffic, and that's going to cost more. And that treatment plant, good God almighty. I'm going to hit the tap water. Am I going to look at? Won't be well water. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Nancy Corman. My husband just spoke. The treatment plant they're going to put there will be across my property. So I just have one question. Would any of you like the treatment plant across your property? And how's that going to increase my property value when you're looking out your window at a treatment plant? There's no way.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak with something different? We've heard about the treatment plant, the traffic. All right, sir. Something different.
I'm Roland Hitchens, a neighbor to this. I was hired to soil sample that whole area by digging with an excavator. And there is one location there that I dug 12 foot deep as I could dig, and I didn't hit nothing at all. And you know, I'd like to salvage that, but make myself some money, but you know, I don't understand that, how you can build houses on that. I know where that's at. Maybe nobody else does, but I do.
All right, sir. Okay, anyone else? Okay, I thought we have a show of hands here, Council. Before you all get away, if you would, all those in favor, raise your hand. That's pretty easy. Okay, all those in opposition, so we can just may have it for the record, how many people were here? Just one hand. Okay.
Fourteen.
Okay. Anyone on the commission have any questions?
I have one.
Did
I hear you say, Mr. Fuqua, that there was no traffic impact study required?
That's right. That's what.
Because of the proximity to Highway 113.
Because of the number of lots being requested, and that's not required for that.
And further, there was no discussion about possible reconfiguration of the intersection of Wood Branch and or Zor Road and Bethesda Road.
There were no discussions because there was no traffic impact study. Obviously, an entrance permit will have to be obtained, and at that point in time, DLDOT can require what they want to require.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Anyone else on the commission have any questions? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close the public hearing before you leave. I want to thank you for being here. Thank you for your patience. We've been here a little over 3 hours, and it's hot in here. I would ask you if you're going to leave now, if you would leave quietly, because believe it or not, we've got more business to attend to. So if you would be so kind as to either remain or leave quietly, we'd appreciate it. Gentlemen, that concludes our public hearing, so referring back